Bible's the book of Romans chapter 12. Couldn't help but thinking when the girls were up here singing, you know, I am guilty and have been guilty many times of looking at this old world of ours and saying, boy, I know it's the last times, but looking at this old world and saying, well, God's just done working. You know, God's not working anymore. We aren't seeing people saved the way we used to see people saved. You know, back in the old days, when they preached a revival, you had somebody like Dr. Gray come here and preach a revival, or a pastor preach a message on salvation, the place was flooded. Yeah. And so sometimes I've been guilty, you know, of saying, boy, it's just, you know, God's just not working the way he has. But let me tell you something. You've got a young generation like that, when they see that people need the Lord, yes. Praise the Lord. And that ought to encourage us. Yeah. Yeah. Understand, people need the Lord. You kids, you keep singing that song. Yeah. Get that in your head, that people do need the Lord. We've got a generation, praise the Lord, that some folks are bringing up that understand that people need the Lord. All right, you got your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. For some reason, I always struggle getting this thing on. Am I on, John? Hello? Yeah, I'm there. Okay, Romans chapter 12, please go ahead and stand. Looking at two very familiar verses to start off with. Try to get this thing all tucked in here so I don't trip over it sometime in the course of the night. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what I want you to pay attention to, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the blessed opportunity to stand and present your word tonight to your people. Lord, I just pray that you would move me aside. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit and that your word would have free course tonight, just to go out and to do whatever it is that you intend for it to do. I pray that it would bring comfort to discouraged hearts. I pray that it would bring joy to those that are down. I pray that it would exhort those that need some things that they need to get right in their life. And Lord, I pray if there is anybody here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that the gospel message would be clear, that your Holy Spirit would be able to convict them of that need, and that tonight would be the night that they would have new birth in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead and take your seats, please. That verse is a very, very familiar verse to most of us. If you've been a Christian for any time, most of you probably even have that verse memorized. You don't have to really look at it. You probably quoted it right with me as I was reading it. And what I wanted to focus on in that verse, particularly in verse 2, was the will of God. You know, God has a will, a very specific purpose for each and every one of you. I mean a very specific purpose for each and every one of you. I preached this message a couple of weeks ago to the junior high and the high school folks in the school here. So for you all that were here, just listen better than you did the first time, okay? No, they were very, I tell you, we got good kids. And they were just, you know, locked right on there. Of course, the principal was sitting right over there, so they couldn't really goof off too much. But no, we've got good kids, and I know they paid attention. But it doesn't hurt to hear things twice, amen? But God has a purpose for our life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let me tell you, God is a God of purpose, and he has a purpose, a very specific purpose and will for each and every one of us. In my job right now, I talk to a lot of high school kids that are coming up, and a lot of them don't have any idea what they want to do. They come to me and they say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe joining the Air Force, and I'd kind of like to know you know, what I could do. I said, well, what do you want to study when you come into college? Well, you know, I don't really know. Well, what do you want to be when you get in the Air Force? Well, I don't really want to know. Actually, my parents just told me I had to come talk to you because, you know. So that sometimes I get that cadaver shaking his head. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Amen. All right. But sadly, sometimes I get folks that are much, much older. These are 17, 18-year-olds. Sometimes I get folks that are come in. They're 28, 29, 30 years old. Say, hey, I'm looking, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I haven't figured it out. And I have no purpose in my life. I have no direction in my life. And the sad thing is that there are many, many Christians that wander around through life not understanding, first of all, that the Lord has a very specific purpose for your life. I preached a message a while ago, and we talked about the body of Christ. and how each and every one of you are a very, very specific part of that body. Some of you might be the pinky. Some of you might be the pinky toe. Some of you are the ear, the nose, the eyes. Everybody has a specific role in the church. That is a specific purpose that God has given you. You know, the Bible's chock full of folks that God had a very specific purpose for. I mean, you go all the way back and you start at the beginning and you think, of course, God created Adam and Eve and God had a purpose for Adam to be able to tend the garden. You fast forward a little bit and you find Noah. God had a very, very specific purpose for Noah, did he not? Hey, if God didn't have that purpose for Noah, where would you be right now? Not here, because there wouldn't be anybody left on this planet, right? God saved Noah. God had a purpose for Noah. You keep going and you look at Abraham. God had a purpose for Abraham to make a great nation that would be called after his name. God had a specific purpose for Abraham. You keep going and you can talk about Moses. God had a very specific purpose for Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage that they had gotten into. You just go back a little bit from that. What about Joseph? Joseph, I'll bet when he was thrown into that in that pit, his brothers come along that loved him so much and said, here, let's just get rid of our little brother. We really don't like him too much. Let's throw him into that pit. I wonder what Joseph was thinking about what his purpose was in life, about what God's purpose was for him in life. But then you fast forward and you find out later on in the book of Genesis, and I believe chapter 44 along there, Joseph told his brothers, hey, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. God has a purpose for every life today. You can keep going. You talk about Joshua and the purpose of Joshua to pick up after where Moses had left on and to usher the children of Israel into the promised land. Gideon had a purpose. He's back there threshing wheat trying to hide from the Midianites, and God said, hey, you, hey, man of valor, hey, this brave man, what are you talking about me? I'm hiding back here because I'm scared to death of these folks. And now I got a purpose for you. My purpose for you and 300 other men is to get Israel out of the bondage of the Midianites. God had a very specific purpose for Samson. You know, the Philistines were bugging the Israelites at that time. Of course, Israel had brought it on themselves. But God had a purpose for Samson. Samson was there to judge Israel and to help bring them out from bondage of the Philistines. You know, what about Joseph and Mary? God had a very specific purpose for Mary. God had a very specific purpose for the apostles. You think about where we'd be today without the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, turning the world upside down. What about Peter? What about James and John and the other apostles? God had very specific purposes for them. And God has a very specific purpose for each of your lives. But that's not really what I want to talk about tonight. You see, I don't know what God's purpose is for your life. Only you know what God's purpose is for your life. I mean, we can search God's word and we know there are things that people sometimes call it the general will of God. And I don't know, you know, people say general will and specific will of God. Look, there are things that we know that God would have us to do. We know that God would have us to obey Jesus Christ, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God would have every single person on this planet obey his will when it comes to believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, was again the third day according to the scriptures. God would have, that is his will. He wills that all men would come to repentance and believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Once you're a Christian, God wills that you continue that testimony and share that with others. God would will that you would stay away from sin. So there are a lot of things that we do. As far as what your specific, God's specific purpose in your life is, I don't know. And God may not reveal that to you right now and say, here it is. Brother, I'm 37 years old. I'm 37 years old, and you know, I can't look down the road, and I can't say for the next 40 years exactly what God has for me. I wonder if you had asked Joshua when he first started following Moses around, hey, did you know that you're going to lead the children of Israel into the Canaan land? Do you know that you're going to take the children of Israel and march around Jericho 7 times and the walls are going to come tumbling down? Do you know that's going to be you? Joshua probably would have laughed at you in the face. He said, look, I'm just trusting God right now. I'm trying to follow. Moses is God's leader for us right now, and I'm just trying to follow him. I don't know about the future. But look, I don't know what God's purpose is for your life, but I know one thing. If you want to achieve God's purpose in your life, it's going to require something of you. It's going to require you to purpose to do something for the Lord. See, we're all concerned about, well, I don't know what God's purpose is for me. Don't worry about what God's purpose is for you right now, but you purpose to do something for the Lord. My challenge for you tonight is, what will you purpose to do for the Lord? God's got a purpose for you, but what will you purpose to do for Him? There are several things that I want to talk about tonight. We could go on and on and on about the different things that we should purpose to do with our life, but there's a few of them that I want to bring up. First of all, let me give you the definition. The Webster's Dictionary definition of to purpose something means that you're going to resolve or determine on some end or object to be accomplished, okay? Two words. You're going to resolve or determine to accomplish something. So when we say, Christian, that we need to purpose to do something, it doesn't mean that we go out and we say, like I did this Saturday morning, and say, oh, I think that today maybe I'll get up and finish that front porch that my wife really wants me to finish working on. Okay? Now, had I purposed when I got up that morning to get it done, maybe my wife would be a little bit happier with me right now. But I didn't purpose. I didn't resolve. I didn't determine to get it done. I said, well, maybe I'll work on that. See how far the maybe got me. That's how far the maybe gets us in our Christian life as well. When we don't purpose, when we don't resolve and determine to do something for God, you see, success in the Christian life, just like success out in the world, doesn't come by accident. Joshua didn't just fall into taking the children of Israel. Joshua proved himself faithful. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. And so Joshua found himself faithful in the eyes of God, and because of that, because he had purposed to follow God, God used him for the purpose of taking the children of Israel into the promised land. So the first question tonight is, will you purpose to get close to the Lord? Will you purpose to get close and to stay close to the Lord? Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, Barnabas, when he came into Antioch, said, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know what it, when I was talking to the high schoolers and the junior high here, I said, you think of cleave, I think of a koala bear. I don't know. The picture always comes in my mind of a koala bear there on what's those eucalyptus tree. And he's just hugging onto that tree. He's cleaving onto that tree, probably because he don't want to fall off, but probably because he wants something to eat too. Just like a little child comes running up to you. Bella does this. Brooke and Abby, not quite as much anymore, but Bella still comes running up to you and she grabs to you on the leg and she's cleaving to you. Christian, that's what Barnabas was talking about with these Christians in the church of Antioch. Hey, you just read a couple verses later and you find out they were called Christians first at Antioch. They understood something. They had purposed in their hearts that they were going to get close to the Lord. And Barnabas encouraged them, cleave unto the Lord. Don't let that go. Of course, James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. So first of all, Christian, if you want to understand God's purpose for your life, you got to purpose that you'll draw close to Him. God's not going to show you His purpose for your life if you don't care about drawing close to Him. We have friends. All of us in our lives, we have friends and family and people that we're close to. And you know, I've traveled around all over the place since I've been in the military. And there's folks that I've drawn really, really close to at the times that I have been with them. 2 or 3 years stationed at one location and you just become really, really good friends with folks. But over time, when you stop communicating with people and you're separated geographically and they're you know, halfway across the world and you're over here and you stop talking with them and you stop spending time with them, you lose that closeness. And there's been times when we've met again and, hey, we're both going to be in Alabama at the same time. Well, praise the Lord, let's meet up at a restaurant. And it's great. It's great fellowship. But the closeness is not the same because the communication and the time spent and the fellowship has not been as frequent. Oh, Christian, in our own lives, we want to draw close to the Lord. You want to cleave to the Lord like this encouraged the church there in Antioch? You got to spend time with the Lord. You got to spend time in His Word. You got to spend time talking and fellowshipping with the Lord if you want to cleave to Him. So if you're going to purpose to cleave to the Lord, that means you're purposing to spend time with Him, to communicate with Him, to pray, and to get into God's Word. Cannot be done. You cannot draw close to the Lord. You cannot draw nigh unto the Lord without spending time talking with Him, spending time reading and studying His Word. Second thing, will you purpose to speak the right things. Turn quickly to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, and then also, hold your finger, flip over to the book of chapter 3. Okay. 17, James chapter 3. All right, Psalm 17, 3. David said, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me in nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Now turn to James chapter 3 and verse 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." The psalmist said that he had determined, he had purposed in his heart that he would not transgress with his mouth. Christians, we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to get a hold of this thing called the tongue. We got to get a hold of it. In this day and age, you and I as Christians have enough going against us that we don't need each other against us as well. We don't need to have everybody running around, "Did you hear that so-and-so did this? Hey, now, brother, I'm just saying this because I need to get it off of my chest, but did you hear about this?" And we justify what we say about other people, but the fact of the matter is, folks, we got to stop talking about folks behind their back. That's just good old gossip. There's nothing, no way short, no way long about it. It is gossip, and we got to quit doing it. We got to be careful what we say to people's face. You know, sometimes, hey, it's great to kid around, and I love being able to kid around with folks, but sometimes we got to be very, very careful. We need to be careful about what we say. What a great, great fire. Just a little fire. It only takes a little fire. If you ever watch any of those survival schools, I love watching the military channel, right? And they take pilots and Marine Corps and folks like that, they go through this survival school. They stick them out in the middle of nowhere, and they got to learn how to fend for themselves. And what did they learn to do? They learned to make just this tiny little fire. Where you look at it, you got to really look in there just to see a little bit of something glowing. But boy, if you put that underneath of the right embers, or you put that underneath of the right little kindling, I guess is what you call it. Man, what a fire that turns out to be. Hey, the conditions are often right. When we have stresses in our lives, when things aren't going well in our lives, sometimes it only takes one person to say one little word. One little word, and before you know it, we've lost fellowship. We have grumblings, and half of the church is against this person. The other half is against the other person. Folks, we got to get control of our tongue. We got a purpose in our heart that we're going to say and speak the right things. Words that are encouraging to others. Hey, if somebody's having a problem and you're not getting along with somebody, go talk to them about it. That's what the Bible says to do. You got a problem with somebody, go to them. Don't go talk about them. Go talk to them and get it settled. We got to get a hold of our tongues. We got a purpose to speak the right things. So will you purpose to get close to the Lord and stay close to the Lord? Will you purpose to speak the right things? Thirdly, will you purpose to keep yourself clean for the Lord? The book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 1. And you all know this story. Daniel chapter 1, you know the story of how King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken the children of Israel captive and taken them out of the land. And he had brought all of the young men, the wise men, the strong men, and he brought them into his court in order to make strong men out of them and to use them. And he wanted to feed them his own meat, right? He wanted to make them strong. So these Israelites, they're a little straggly. Let's give them some of our meat and let's turn them into big, strong men. The problem with that was, with some of the things that they wanted to feed them, went against the dietary laws that the children of Israel had, right? They had laws about what they could eat, given by God, what they could eat and what they could not eat. And also, he wanted to give them wine, an alcoholic drink, and they were against that as well. God was against that. So in verse 8, Daniel chapter 1, you find Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Remember, he purposed, he determined, he had resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Christian, it is time. It is high time that we as Christians purpose, that we determine and that we resolve that we're not going to defile ourselves with the things of this world. I don't care what it is. You talk about smoking, you talk about drinking, you talk about cussing, you talk about the pornography that's out there, just watching the shows that you should not watch, listening to the things that you should not listen to, the music that you should not listen to, the jokes that you should not listen to. Christians, we need to purpose. We need to determine. We need to resolve that we're going to stand up, just like Daniel did. Daniel, listen, Daniel was taken captive. Not a single one of us are in here tonight that are captive being told to do something that we shouldn't do. We're doing it on our own, out of our own free will. Daniel, though, stood and said, "No, King, I'm purposing in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself." It's time for us Christians to determine and to purpose that we're going to keep ourselves clean before the Lord. If we're going to keep ourselves clean before the Lord, that means we got to realize where the filthiness is coming from. Filthiness is coming from the world. We know that. That's why God has told us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If you don't want the dirtiness and the filth of the world to get on you, you've got to separate yourself from it. But another place where the filthiness comes from, and that's right here. That's this old flesh that we live in. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians that he puts under his body. He says, "I put under my body and I bring it into subjection." Not the other way around. The problem is, so many times in our lives, we've got it the other way around. Our body has us in subjection. We do what our body tells us to do. We eat when it tells us to eat. We wake up when it tells us to wake up. We watch what it tells us to watch. We do what it tells us to do. We need to purpose in our hearts, like Daniel purposed in his heart, like Joseph purposed in his heart when he was in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife came after him day after day after day. And you understand the authority that Joseph had in that household. He was in charge of the house. Could have had anything that he wanted. Could have been an easy thing for him to lie with Potiphar's wife. Joseph had purposed in his heart that he was going to keep himself clean for the Lord. If you want to understand what the will of God is for your life, if you want God to accomplish, and I hope that everybody here does, I hope everybody wants God to be able to complete what he has purposed for you in your life. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to purpose to get close to him. You're going to have to purpose to get along with everybody and speak the right things, and you're going to have to purpose to keep your life and keep yourself clean before the Lord. Will you purpose also to serve God no matter what? Will you purpose to serve God no matter what? I saw, and I don't remember if it was in Alabama or what, I stay away from the news almost exclusively. Every now and then, I'll look at the headlines that are on the Yahoo webpage, and I don't go any farther than just seeing what the ones are on there. But I remember caught in my corner of my eye, and I think it was Alabama, but there's some school that's really fighting right now in order to be able to keep prayer. It's graduation or something like that. I don't remember even what the situation was because I didn't go on and read it. But hey, we're in a fight for our lives right now. Christianity, even in this country, is in a fight for its life. We're losing our freedoms, in case you haven't noticed it. Christians are losing their freedom left and right. Will you serve God no matter what? Will you serve God? You read in the book of Acts, and you start reading about the persecution, the trials, the tribulations, and the struggles that the early Christians went through. Hey, Paul went from city to city and city because they were chasing him out of there. But guess what? He went to the next city. The Christians that were left behind had to stay there. They're the ones that continued to suffer that persecution. Will you worship the Lord? Will you purpose to worship the Lord no matter what? My mind automatically goes to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, you folks, you know the story. When the trumpet sounds, you're all going to bow down and worship that idol, which is what it was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I like to imagine what the conversation was. What do you think? Well, I know God wouldn't want us to do that. I know, but everybody else is doing it. I mean, it's a furnace. They're going to throw us in a furnace if we don't do that. Come on. And they didn't call each other Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their given names, but you know, come on, Shadrach, really. We can't do that. God, remember Daniel? Remember what Daniel did? Remember how he stood up and he told the king that he wasn't going to eat his meat? God took care of us. Yeah, you're right. God took care of us then. God will take care of us now, no matter what. You're right. I'm not going to bow down to that idol. Didn't I only throw three men into that furnace? Said the king. Hey, God took care of them. But they had purposed in their heart that no matter what, they were going to worship the Lord. No matter what, they were going to serve the Lord. You keep going, Daniel. Daniel, what about that time when King Darius, right, the men had fooled him. His men had fooled him into saying, hey, king, you need a law. You need a law that people won't pray to anybody else but you. Oh, great and wonderful King Darius. King said, yeah, that's right. We do need a law like that. That'd be a pretty good law to have. People only pray to me. Go ahead and write it in there. Do you think Daniel didn't know that that was the law? Daniel knew. You look over there in Daniel chapter 6, it says he knew. After Daniel knew that it was the law for him not to pray to anybody else, he went and hid in his closet and prayed. He didn't go hide in his closet. He flung the windows open. And I'm betting that Daniel, you read Daniel, Daniel's a little bit like Peter. He's a little bit ornery. I'll bet Daniel said, oh God of Israel, as he opened those windows up so everybody could hear him. Daniel purposed in his heart that no matter what, he was going to serve the Lord. He was going to worship the Lord. Hey, things are getting tough. It's hard. I know. People make fun of you in the workplace for standing up and saying, hey, don't take my Lord's name in vain. Are you going to do that? Are you going to stand up for the Lord? Purpose in your heart to serve him no matter what happens. Purpose in your heart to keep yourself clean and pure. And then will you purpose in your heart? Will you purpose in your heart? We talk about God performing his purpose in your life. Will you purpose to do something great for the Lord? Listen, something great is different to everybody. Something great, Brother Mike, I've got to use you as an example. This was a long time ago, too. We're on the way home, and I pulled in, and I'm pumping gas at the Circle K. And Mike was just another station over from me. And I'm pumping gas. I think we exchanged words, said a couple of things to each other. And I turn around, and Brother Mike is talking to the guy next to him. I don't know what he said because I couldn't hear him, but I saw him, and it wasn't this track, but I saw him pull this out. It's the one he's got in his pocket right now. I saw him pull that out, and I saw him give it to the guy, and I hear him talking. Brother Mike, so he can talk to anybody, but listen, I can't talk to anybody. Hogwash. That's what Moses said. Moses said, God, I don't have a mouth where I can go talk. God said, I'll give you the mouth. And who did he give him? He gave him Aaron. How many times you see Aaron talking? Moses was talking. So don't use that excuse like I use all the time. Oh, I just can't strike up a conversation with anybody. Hey, God can give you the ability to strike up a conversation with anybody. Will you purpose to do something great for the Lord? Hey, Brother Mike's not an evangelist going around and traveling and preaching 365 days a year, but I'll tell you what, he's witnessing 365 days a year. That's great in God's eyes. Will you purpose to do something great in God's eyes? It may not be being a missionary. Listen, kids, I hope, I would love to see every single one of you, a pastor, a missionary's wife, or something like that. But guess what? That's not what God has for absolutely everybody. But will you still do something great for God? Life, success in life is not about what you do for a living. You got to get this. Success in life is not about what you do for a living. Success in life is about what you do with your life. Success in life is about what God does with your life. Not about what you do for a living. You may be a pastor. You may be a missionary. You may be a tile setter. But God can do something great with your life. Like I said, the examples that we started out with, God has a purpose for every single one of us. God had a purpose for every single person that we talked about. I can't imagine that very many of them in the early days of their life thought that they would turn out the way they did. I can't imagine that Moses thought that he would be spoken of in God's holy word the way that he is. I can't imagine that he ever saw that coming. I can't imagine that Joshua ever saw that coming. I can't imagine that the Apostle Paul, when he was standing there holding the coats of the people that were stoning Stephen, ever saw that God's purpose for his life would be to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Look, folks, you may not see 10, 15, 20, 40 years down the road. And maybe you've already lived a good portion of your life. Hopefully you can look back on it and say, boy, God, I see what God's purpose has been in my life. If you can't, start today. Start today by purposing in your heart, by determining and resolving that you're going to get close to Him, because you've got to be close to Him if He's going to complete His purpose in your life. Determine that you're going to use your tongue for the right things, not for beating other people down, but for encouraging, exhorting, being a testimony and a witness. Purpose that you're going to keep your life clean for the Lord. Purpose that you'll worship and serve Him no matter what happens. And then purpose today to do something great for the Lord. Hey, we do something great for the Lord when we did as Pastor Dave talked about this morning, when we offer our lives a living sacrifice. It's not us that does the work. None of these people that we talked about were the ones that did great and glorious things. God is the one that took their lives. They were willing. They purposed to do something for the Lord, and that God took them. And as the master potter, He molded that clay into what He desired for it to be. God has a design for you, a design that He wants to make out of your life. Maybe a beautiful ornamental cup, maybe just a regular little coffee mug that gets used every single day. Well, my coffee mug, I tell you, it gets used a lot. It doesn't look real pretty, but boy, I wouldn't do without it. Let God do that in your life today. You want to understand His purpose for you? Purpose to do something for Him. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to come before You tonight. Lord, if I were to be honest, look in my own life and know that many times I've not purposed to do the right things. I've not purposed to do something great for You. Lord, I pray that You would help us as Christians living in this last day. Lord, there's still a lot of work that You need done. There's a lot of work that You want to do through us. But Lord, we need the determination. We need the resolve that we're going to allow You to do those things through our lives. So Lord, help us as we leave from here tonight to purpose those things in our lives. Lord, I pray tonight, as I prayed earlier, that if there is someone here, Lord, I haven't really spoken tremendously about the gospel message, but I pray that if there is someone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, Lord, that they would get the curiosity tonight, that Your Holy Spirit would convict them, and that they would come forward and get that settled. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, we do our primary concern here in this church is that you know for sure that you are going to heaven when you die. Jesus Christ, in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Because of that, each and every person can know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die. If you're here tonight and you can say with an uplifted hand, "Brother Mike, I am 100% sure that I have got life. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die," would you please raise your hand just as a testimony that you know for sure? Amen. You can put those hands down. If you're here tonight and you may say, "You know, I'm not really even sure what you're talking about, Mike, that this idea of being positive that you can go to heaven." And I got to be honest with you that tonight I'm sitting here and I don't know for sure that if I were to die tonight, if you were to walk out the doors of these building tonight and something would happen to you, you don't know that you'll go to heaven. If you're here tonight and you don't know and say, "I would like to know more," would you just put your hand up quickly and back down again? I'd like to pray for you tonight. Okay, it looks like we're all Christians here tonight. Perhaps the Lord would just spoken to your heart and you need to come to the altar tonight and get something settled. Take this opportunity to do that. Brother Bobby, what song are we going to sing?
375.
Go ahead and stand. Let's turn to hymn number 375.